Hey y'all, before we jump into today's episode, we would like to invite you to a special event we're hosting on May 30th called Women in Whiskey. Join us for an adult field trip filled with Southern fun at the Jack Daniel's Distillery right here in our home state of Tennessee. Get ready to learn while sipping. We will be taking a private tour of the distillery, enjoy a barbecue lunch on the beautiful hillside, and partake in early happy hour with cocktails provided by Jack Daniel's as we listen in on a conversation with women who work in the industry. The conversation will be led by yours truly, your hosts of the Steel Magnolias Podcast. Learn more about the event at steelmagnoliaspodcast.com. You can grab your tickets there, and we cannot wait to see you on May 30th. And now, on with the show.
Muscadine grapes are a native Southern treasure. They're found throughout the southeastern United States, and these grapes thrive in the heat. They're easy to grow, in fact, sometimes even grow wild, and they burst with flavor and nutrients. From a yellowy bronze to a deep purple, almost black, these grapes are blended into smoothies and fermented into wine. So much diversity to discuss, so I'll meet you at the table.
I'm Lainey.
And I'm Laura Beth.
And we are
Steel Magnolias.
The strength of steel with the grace of a magnolia.
We are here to have uplifting conversations about life in the South.
And we've got plenty of room at our table.
So pull up a chair. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to another episode of Steel Magnolias Podcast.
Me and my sister sitting here ready to chat.
So a few things to mention before we jump into today's topic. One, if you would like to be on our mailing list, we have a newsletter that's going out later this week. We do a monthly newsletter so as to not inundate everybody's inboxes that are already too full. But we do share about more details, you know, of things that we've been talking about on the podcast, and I'll link to it in the show notes. Secondly, if you are enjoying this podcast, would you consider supporting us through our partner Patreon? We have three tiers of membership, and a small group of you are already giving each month to this show. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
We really appreciate it.
We are hoping to make this show more professional by putting some business setup into place, and we would greatly appreciate if you would consider a $5, $10, or $20 membership. There's lots of fun perks, including a Steel Magnolias t-shirt.
And it is so stinking cute.
It says, "Peace be with y'all," our official sign-off. There's monthly bonus episodes that you get. So it's another podcast from us every month that's just for our supporters. And then we've got this Southern swag box, we call it, for some of our VIPs, where you just get Southern goodies.
Fun Southern product.
Candles and teas and coasters and hats. And there's been so many different things
so many
in
cute
it
things.
Through the month.
Cheese straws.
Cheese straws. So consider that. And I'll link to the patreon.com website in our show notes. Okay. Here we go. Muscadines.
So I remember muscadines growing in East Tennessee. It was my first place to try them.
Okay.
And they were the big, dark,
yeah,
purple, almost black color.
Yes.
And they were just so big. So that was my first at a young age.
Almost
taste.
Seems like something boys would like use instead of rocks to throw at each other to see if they would splatter on each other. I mean, they would hurt.
And the skin is really thick on this grape. So it does look and feel different than just a table grape. What I think of as like a table grape.
Yeah. Yeah. So these are grapes that are native to
the southeastern
United States. They can grow really anywhere from Florida all the way up to the New Jersey coast and even into parts of Texas and Oklahoma.
East Texas, probably.
Yeah. Primarily, they are in the southeast. They love summer heat.
Yeah. They're very resilient, too.
Yes. I feel like we're describing Southerners. They're different, though, than, as you were trying to describe, other grape varieties. So
very much thicker skin. That's the main thing I noticed.
Yeah.
And larger in size.
This is not something you've seen in your grocery store unless you're looking at muscadines. You know, right. You're not, this is very different. They, as you mentioned in our introduction, vary in color, which is even unique. They're great antioxidant for your body.
Well, in size, first of all, I mean, they get bigger as they grow. So, I mean, that's everything.
Yeah.
So, but when they're at full ripeness, most of them I've seen are like what I would call ping pong ball size. I was reading that they can be golf ball size. I've rarely seen, I don't know if I've ever seen that.
No,
the ones
I
usually have seen have been more what I would call a ping pong ball.
Yeah.
Size, and they don't cluster in the same way.
Yeah.
Like, they're usually just the one, or you may see
maybe three.
Two or three.
Yeah.
Kind of on one stem.
And they can grow wild, too. Yes. So I don't know if the ones that you remember seeing growing up were in someone's yard, or if they were growing wild, but either way, and they're all over the South.
Yes.
They can be eaten as, you know, just as a muscadine, as a snack to just snack on, as jam, jelly, fermented into a sweet wine, which we're going to talk about a little bit later. My Southern Living heirloom recipe book has a muscadine jam recipe.
That's fun.
It takes 7 pounds of muscadine grapes, so you got to be around a bunch, but...
But I mean, how this would be a great... I've never grown these, but I was thinking this would be a great thing to grow in that... Just that this is when they're ripe. That's why we're talking about it right now.
Yeah.
We're on the end of the ripe season.
Sure.
And it would be such a cool thing to make for Christmas gifts or teacher gifts or something like that.
Yeah.
You know, because you would need a lot.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean,
that would be so fun.
The entire fruit is edible. So some people like to eat the whole grape. Seeds, skin, pulp, and all.
Well, those seeds are big. I mean, the grape is big, so the seeds are big. So I couldn't eat the seeds. That's just too big.
Well, when we went on our field trip, as I called it, to the sorghum mill a few weeks back, we made a wrong turn. We thought we were at the mill. So here we are mosing around in the back of someone's house that we thought we were at the mill.
No, Larva's like, this is private property, Lainey. I'm eating muscadines over on the side.
She had found muscadines and knew that we were going to be talking about them in future weeks. So there we were picking muscadines illegally. But I did try one, and
it wasn't fully ripe.
It wasn't fully ripe, but I certainly would not have wanted to eat the seeds.
They're too big. I don't know how anybody could do that. Well, I can't eat the skin. The skin's thick, but
it's tough.
You know, I can eat that, but I couldn't eat the seeds. But the yummy, gushy pulp that's in there, because it's bigger, it just is, you get more out of it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will just squeeze that out and then toss the seeds in the skin.
Yeah. It feels like this is, I said snack on these earlier, because it does feel like it's a snack food in that it's not a quick bite.
Right.
It's not a quick quick fix. It does feel like something that you want to sit around and snack on. Like, it takes work. It's like cracking nuts or something.
That's so true. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so there's going to be a little effort.
I feel like this is a front porch snack.
Yeah.
Of you're not just trying to get sustenance. But
or like the good, wonderful, you know, watermelon breeds that do have the seeds where you have to like keep spitting them out.
Yeah.
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 Kind of similar.
It takes work, as we've said on here many times before. The stuff that takes work is worth it, but it's work. Stuff.
That's right. Well, as we said, these can be like a yellowy bronze in color all the way to a dark purpley, almost black.
Yeah.
But the yellow bronzy ones are often called a different name.
Yes.
And that is scuppernong.
I think this is such a fun episode because muscadine is fun to say and scuppernong is good to say.
We're
fun
schooling you for your next crossword puzzle.
Yeah, so it's a variety of muscadine, right?
Yeah, I think some people use it interchangeably, but it's not.
It is
a specific variety, and it is the bronzy color.
Yeah.
That are found all over North Carolina.
Yeah, it was found before 1760 by Isaac Alexander in North Carolina, and it was first known as the big white grape. It was later named scuppernong after the area in which it was found.
And I think that's a river, right? I think that might be a river in North Carolina.
Yeah, that's one of the only places that I think you can find these, right? Or maybe they grow them other places now too.
I don't know about that, but I do know that they're all over North Carolina.
Yeah. So, yeah. So you could, in other words, you could say all scuppernongs are muscadines, but not all muscadines are scuppernongs.
Yes.
Because it's, yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, try and use that in a sentence sometime this week. Well, we went on a field trip as well.
We sure did. We've
been keeping our calendar pretty busy with research. I use that in quotes, trips. It's mostly just disguised sister time. But we went to a place here pretty close to us that is a winery that has muscadine grapes. Yeah. So should we talk about?
Let's do it.
So let me just say, Napa Valley's got nothing on what we saw out at Grinder's Switch. Grinder's Switch. I'm not even kidding. And I do mean
that. Some people may have heard of Grinder's Switch, not because of all it has to offer and all that is there, because you would miss this little... Can you even call it a town?
Maybe.
You would even miss this winery. It's like a little log cabin in the middle of nowhere. But Grinder's Switch is where the character Minnie Pearl...
Yes.
Who was actually Sarah Cannon. Minnie Pearl was supposedly from Grinder's Switch.
Yes.
Now, Sarah Cannon was from Centerville, which is the closest town to Grinder's Switch.
Yes.
Anyway, so if you think, I've heard that name somewhere before, that's probably where.
That's why. It sort of felt like we just drove into the middle of the woods and saw a painted sign for a winery and went that way.
Absolutely, that's what it felt like.
It was very wooded back there, like way more than I thought. Because you and I have gotten to go to Napa, and
yeah.
It's very open, as are most farming
and
sorts
Napa's
of areas. And
Napa's way more chic and she-she.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, this is...
Yeah, but it was a beautiful drive out there. We saw lots and lots of animals, some fenced, some not.
Larbeth was driving, so I was constantly like, look, sheep. Oh, look, goats.
Yeah.
Oh.
We were spared a run in with some deer in the road. There was just a lot of wildlife happening. Yeah, so it's located, as you mentioned, in the heart of Middle Tennessee in about 110 acres of trees. The Chesser family has a 7-acre vineyard on their family estate. And the winery includes the tank room, which can hold more than 15,000 gallons of wine, which is the epicenter of the wine production. And we got to walk in there.
We sure
and see
did.
It. That's not typically something that you would see if you're visiting the winery. You have to make a little different turn. And that's not something that they, I don't think, typically tour.
Right.
But it was really cool to see those massive that fermentation happening.
Yeah. And of course their equipment is so high tech that it gets absolutely everything out of the muscadine before this fermentation process. So
yeah. Well, we got to do a tasting, and if you are in the Nashville proper area, you can do a tasting at Marathon Village. They have a location of Grinder's Switch wines there. That if that was more convenient to you, but
you're just staying in town.
Yeah, but that's not convenient to everybody. So I just wanted to describe at least a few, because they ship to a lot of the United States. So if this is of
different
interest.
Different kinds of rules in, by state on what can get shipped.
Yeah. But, so we tried two muscadine wines. They have other wine varieties there. But
in fact, I was shocked at all they had there.
I was too.
I was expecting to mostly have muscadine wine and like rosé, just sweet stuff, blackberry wine. That's all I thought they would have.
Yeah.
And I ended up buying what I thought was pretty good cab.
Yeah, what'd
grapes
you buy? I can't remember what you bought.
I got one that was the 2019 Zephyr, which was made with Cabernet Sauvignon.
Hey.
Grapes and another grape that I can't remember.
Zephyr was the name of one of the trains that used to run on the railroad that went through Grinder's Switch. And this was literally like a place where the train switched happened. That's why it's called Grinder's Switch. So you had the 2019 Zephyr and which one other one?
And the 382, which I don't even know how to pronounce that grape. Chambersin grapes,
which was also another train name, 382.
I just like trains. What can I say? I like trains and I like dark grapes.
You did like the label when we first saw them before we'd even tasted them. You thought that was cool to have the train on the label. Those were both very good. So those were both reds.
Yeah. That's what I usually land on. Yeah. But
we tried a sweet rosé, which was a white muscadine in it with golden apple, kind of a cherry finish. It was their honeysuckle rosé.
Yeah.
That was good. And then the other one she pulled out, but it wasn't on their typical tasting. But that's the one I ended up buying, called the General One. And it's a Tennessee muscadine wine. It's very sweet.
Well, muscadine wines in general are. So if you are, you know, a lover of sweet wine, you're probably going to like muscadine wine.
I mean, I almost felt like I was drinking simple syrup at one point.
Oh, my goodness.
Just because, you know, it's so sweet. But if that's something that you like or you're willing to try, these were good ones.
They were. For sure. They really were. I think it feels almost more like a dessert wine.
Oh, for sure.
You know, that you would eat with some wonderful chocolate or
something. What was our, the gal that was working there, she was Abby. Saying that it was good to put on ice cream, I think. Or is that what she was saying?
I think, I don't know. I don't remember. Now, I have seen people make a muscadine, I don't even know what you would call it, because it's not jam. It's thinner than that.
Mm-hmm.
That you can put on things like ice cream.
Yeah, almost like a little vinaigrette kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, there's so many things you can do with muscadines. Wine is obviously all across. There's quite a few wineries in the South that have a muscadine wine. I mean, I've seen these done in Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee, across Tennessee.
That's amazing.
Lots of places.
Yeah.
But because muscadines are so packed with nutrients and phytochemicals that support good health, a lot of people seek these out for health reasons.
Okay.
In fact, I don't know the science of this, but they have like more chromosomes than an actual grape and are really rich in nutrients. So they're really good for digestion, bone production, skin health, blood sugar control, and even preventing oxidative damage to cells.
Okay.
So we all need that.
We do.
To look younger.
Yes.
But it's like super high in antioxidants. So if you're one who's looking for something to stick in your smoothies, and maybe you need to get some plants going.
That's right. So I wonder if there's a muscadine tool that is like specifically for mashing. Yeah. And for de-seeding these. Because you couldn't put this in your smoothie as is, or else
you'd
have seeds.
Now, do you remember that we got to taste the juice at the place before it was fermented?
So good.
And it was so good. I was thinking, this is like the ultimate communion right here.
I would buy that.
Because
I would buy it even not fermented as wine.
It was so excellent, because it even had a tiny bit of a thickness to it. I felt like it did.
Again,
like it was
like the
not
simple
as
syrup
thin
to me. Yeah,
as,
yeah.
I see why you're saying that.
Yeah.
Not that sweet.
I know, but I don't know another consistency that I drink.
That's true. So well, thicker than...
Hold on. I don't drink simple syrup, but I put it in other things that I drink.
You're so funny. Well, people make so many things with this. Jams, jellies, fruit butter, pies. I have a recipe that we're going to need to share.
Okay.
That is called drunken chicken with muscadine grapes and white wine.
No way. That sounds amazing.
And so you half the grape and get the seed out. And then when you cook this, because you're cooking it in a Dutch oven.
Okay.
So all the flavors kind of meld together.
Okay.
And those skins will come off.
Okay. Well, there you go.
But anyway... There's just something about chicken with grapes and white wine together.
I know.
Like, that is so right.
Well, my favorite kind of chicken salad, cold chicken salad,
has grapes in it.
Yeah.
Well, you would love the drunken chicken with muscadine grapes and white wine. So we'll have to share that recipe
whoever,
in the show notes.
Whoever pairs. I will. Now that you've mentioned that us trying the juice was so tasty, I was just looking up. Do they sell... Just muscadine juice?
Muscadine grape juice?
They do.
Okay,
yeah.
Who does?
It's called MightyMuscadine.com.
Okay.
So you can buy 24 10-ounce bottles of Mighty Muscadine grape juice. They're 10 ounces. It's not cheap. Okay. It's $40 for a pack of a case of 24.
If you're
but that's actually not that bad now that I'm thinking of it.
If you're wanting to get the health benefits though done, that's easy. Yeah. Just drink it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that you could look that up while we record.
No, I know. That's so less fun. Than $2 a 10-ounce bottle. That's okay. Not bad. People pay that for
kombuchas and juices everything all else. The time.
They pay that for orange juice in the store. So if you're wanting to get some juice, Mighty Muscadine, I'll put that link in the show notes. We're not an affiliate or anything. I literally just looked that up. So I don't have a promo code for you, but it does sound tasty.
Well, we've taught them some new words. That's one thing for sure.
That's true. And I feel confident in saying scuppernong. Am I saying it right?
You are saying it right. Okay. And we didn't mention, but it is the state fruit of North Carolina. So there you go.
So concentrated there.
Next trivia game that you're in.
What is scuppernong? I love it. Well, if you get a chance, if you are anywhere near Middle Tennessee, Centerville, Grinder Switch was very sweet.
It was super sweet.
And we are going to do a future episode on, as we mentioned, the one and only legendary Sarah Cannon.
Oh, yeah.
But they pay lots of honor and homage to her in
Centerville.
Centerville.
Where she's from.
We got to see a...
Howdy! That's how we should have started this episode. That's right.
We got to see a nice bronze statue of her, and we'll talk more about her on a future episode, but... If she's somebody that you like or that you enjoyed her comedic character on the Grand Ole Opry days, that would also be a fun place to visit just to hear more about her. Well, we've taken y'all on two road trips with us, staying in the state of Tennessee.
Just these last 2 weeks.
But Tennessee is a wide state, so we can go hours and hours and still be in Tennessee. There's several states like that.
Supposedly you can turn it up on its end and it would touch Canada. That's what I've heard. I don't know.
How do you test that? I don't know. I guess you'd know mileage. But yeah, so I was just thinking, where would you want to go from here? Not necessarily even for the podcast, but is there anything fall road trip that you've been wanting?
Are you kidding me? I always have road trips. I know. Like cooking in my
brain.
That's
why I'm asking. I know. Okay. Inspire us.
All right. Well, I'll tell you what I was looking up literally this morning.
See, I knew this was a fresh and relevant question.
Literally this morning, I was looking up, could I go to the Greenbrier Hotel? I've never seen that hotel in West Virginia. It's okay. Very iconic old hotel. And so I was thinking that'd be a really fun thing to do at Christmas. Turns out I can't. Like the cheapest room I could find was like $8 something a night.
Wow.
So I'm out on that for Christmas.
You could go have tea in the lobby.
Yeah, you can do like day things. And I was like, oh, that would be so fun to go see at Christmas time.
I saw Biltmore's post today about Christmas at the Biltmore, and I got a little bit warm and fuzzy inside.
Yeah.
But that's bypassing fall.
I guess I am jumping ahead. Just with magazines are getting me all excited right now with all the Christmas sparkle.
I know. It's very weird to be off season based on what's in the store, what's in the magazine, and what's happening in real life.
Right? It's so hot outside that my 3/4 length sleeved shirt is going to have to get changed in a few minutes.
Our pumpkins are out there baking in the sun on our front porches.
So true. So for a fall road trip, where would I go? There's still a lot of Mississippi I haven't seen.
Yeah.
That might be fun.
Yeah.
One of these days I want to get to that Foxfire place in Georgia.
Yes.
They got muscadines growing down there. We could find a winery. That'd be a fun trip too.
I am very impressed and surprised at the amount of wineries that are across the South. So as a future sort of teaser here, I'll just mention we have many more episodes too that we're going to dive into, even holiday wines and some of the vineyards across the South. So there's your plug for staying with us. Well, hope y'all had a great time with us. We sure enjoy being in your ears literally each week. And with this, I'll leave you. Peace be with you
and also with y'all.